The first Bible reading is Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31. In the Church Bibles, it's page 512. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. The Holy One says, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The second reading is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, page 828 in the Church Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Well, let me ask up front, if we didn't have the Apostles' Creed, would you care? Would you lose anything in your life if we didn't have it and we didn't say it? Not that we do say it that often. Now, I suspect not for many, many people here. They're just words on a screen, and maybe it's, yep, take it or leave it, doesn't really matter. We can stand and say them and sit down again and maybe no big deal. But I would say there are also others here who would really value these words and standing up together as one and saying these words and probably wish that we did say it a little bit more. Well, my hope as we start this new series today is that you will see the richness in these words and what it is that we are saying. The Apostles' Creed, it's been said by believers for centuries and centuries. It's probably by the 4th century the Creed, as we know it today, had come to be. I've learnt that it had a really close connection with baptism, which is interesting because that's the main time that we say it here as a church. And interestingly, in this 6-week series, 3 of those weeks, we will have a baptism here. And in the early church, when someone became a Christian, became a believer, they got baptized, and they would declare their faith in God. And they would use the word saying, "I believe. I believe in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the God I believe in. This is the God that I now belong to." So much more than just saying that I believe there is a God. The devil believes that. About 70% of Australians believe that. Now, this is saying, I believe. I trust. I commit myself to God. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say, I believe. To declare that. I believe in God. So a new believer, a Christian, this is what they would declare. What they believed in God, and they would go through and say the Apostles' Creed. Standing up and saying what it is that they believe. So they're the first four words. I believe in God. And it goes on, this God we believe in, he is the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And that's what we're looking at today, just those few words. So let's consider each aspect. So firstly, Father. What does that tell you? It tells you that the God is personal. What is it? What did Jesus say to his disciples? How is it that they should pray? Say, Father, our Father in heaven. Can you just imagine being amongst those disciples, being one of them when Jesus said that? How amazing that would be that Jesus is telling them that they can call God Father and address him in such a personal way. We call God Father. Just like a child says Daddy. If you're a dad, only your children, your child, can call you Dad. No one else can. You are their dad. There is that special relationship between you as the dad and them as your little boy or girl. And we call God Father. That's extraordinary, isn't it? This is the personal relationship that we have with God. He is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, and yet we get to call him Father. Now, the only reason that we can do that is because we've been adopted into his family. Got a mate unable to have kids. They've adopted a gorgeous boy and girl. So these little ones, they get to call him Dad. He is now their dad. They've been adopted. They are his children and they call him Dad. They are now his children. We call God Father because we are now his children. God has chosen us, he's adopted us into his family. We are his children. I look at the dads here, and I know, I see you, I know how much you care and you love for your children. Right? I know that they mean everything to you, and you care for them. Right? They're your kids. You love them, you care for them. I hear these words that Jesus speaks. They'll come up on the screen as well. So these are from Luke 11, coming just after the Lord's Prayer. Next slide. Thanks. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I love those words, at the end there. How much more will your Father in heaven? If you give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven? He cares for us, and he knows us. God feeds the birds and looks after them. How much more you, his child? The lilies of the field, the flowers, the grass, God clothes them. How much more you, his children? Right, Jesus says in Luke 12, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom. God will provide for you. You are his children. He loves you. He knows you. God provides for your needs. Trust him, follow him, seek his kingdom. God will provide for you. He knows you. Dads, better than you know your kids. Our Heavenly Father, he knows each and every one of us. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows us. I hope you're feeling privileged right now. As you hear these words, as you're reminded of these great truths, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you feel great comfort from knowing God as your Father. I was going to say that you would know the weight of it, but knowing this, it's like a weight is lifted from you. Knowing the love of the Father. We call him Father. Muslims can't, can they? They can't. They don't address God as Father. Hindus, do they? No, we are privileged that when we come before God, we've been invited to call him Father. That is the personal relationship that you have with him as a believer. Well, not just Father, but Father Almighty. Almighty. All power and all authority is his. Right? Think about that. In the whole world, all power, all authority is his. And yet, you get to call him Father. Now, Carol read to us from Ephesians 3. I love the words there that are spoken. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And it goes on to pray that God would strengthen you with power, and praise that you might have the power to grasp the greatness of Christ's love. And then it says in verses 20, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. This is our God. This is our Heavenly Father. We shouldn't be surprised though, because he is Creator of heaven and earth. The whole world, right? It is all his. Every single bit of it. Not just the earth, but the whole universe and beyond. It is all his. He's created it all. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right? God is creator. Creator our God. Well, if you've still got to open or your Bible's there, the first passage that Carol read, Isaiah chapter 40. I hear these words again, talking about God as creator and all that means. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How good is that? This is our God. He is our Creator God. I believe in God, Creator of heaven and earth. As you say those words in the creed, do you say those words proudly, unashamedly? I believe in God, the Creator. Even in this scientific world that we live in, He's God. There's nothing that is impossible for God. Are you familiar with John Lennox, the professor, mathematician, professor of mathematics at the University of Oxford? That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, he's the professor there of mathematics, right? He's one smart man, and I reckon he's one of the most humble men in all the world that I've ever met. Anyway, he takes on Hitchens and Hawkins and Dawkins, and he does so in such a gracious way. This year, I've had the privilege of meeting him, hearing him a few times. As a professor, as a mathematician, as a scientist, right, he has no problem believing in God as creator. That this world all came about by God creating it. Alright, so let me read to you one thing that he's written. It's longish, but it's worth listening to. To choose between God and science is a bit like someone demanding that we choose between aeronautical engineer Sir Frank Whittle and the laws of physics to explain the jet engine. That is a confusion of category. The laws of physics can explain how the jet engine works, but someone had to build the thing. Someone had to put the fuel in and start it up. The jet could not have been created without the laws of physics on their own, but the task of development and creation needed the genius of Whittle as its agent. Similarly, the laws of physics could never have actually built the universe. Some agency must have been involved. Hawkins says that because of gravity, that the world, the creation of the world coming to be, was just inedible because of gravity. But how did that gravity exist in the first place? Right? Who put it there? Now, what was, if you like, the creative force behind its birth? Right? For Lennox, that answer is obvious. He is not ashamed to believe in God as creator. He says, "For me as a Christian believer, the beauty of the scientific laws only reinforces my faith in an intelligent, divine, creative force at work. The more I understand science, the more I believe in God because of my wonder at the breadth, sophistication and integrity of his creation." Right, science and creation do not have to be at odds with one another. On Monday night, I created something, my dinner. And it was good. It was good, a chicken korma. Now, of course, it wasn't original. There's been many kormas before mine. And everything in my creation did exist before I put it all together. Right, I just looked at what I had. I had the chicken, the onion, the almonds, the korma paste, whatever else, the coconut cream, and I just chopped them up and grounded them and combined them all at the right time, and I made my creation. Right, and it was good. But take God and his creation. Right? God creates all things, everything, out of nothing. There was nothing. God speaks, God spoke, and it all came to be. The entire world, because of God. Amazing. He speaks, it comes to be, he creates everything. But again, we shouldn't be surprised because he is God. So three implications, three things that this means for us, seeing God as creator. Right, we're to be thankful to him, aren't we? Thankful for him because everything that we have, everything that you have, it comes from him. We have so much to be thankful for. Right? Secondly, we are to be dependent upon Him for our well-being, right? Because everything that we have, He gives it to us. Our very life, our breath, He sustains us, so we are to depend on Him. It's all from Him. And thirdly, we're to praise Him. Praise Him for the beauty and the majesty of His creation. And do you remember a couple of months ago, that glorious sunset? Like it was a sunset like no other. It was a Monday afternoon. It was the last Monday in July. Right? I'm there at my desk, laptop in front of me, and to my left is the window and the sky. Did you see the sky that day? I'm working away, and at 6:30 I look at Facebook, and all I see is photo after photo. Sunset, sunset, sunset. There's like 20 posts, and the only thing that people had to say was sunset. And with the window there, I missed it. I never looked out the window. But I did see the moon last night. The blood moon a few nights ago, it was pretty cloudy, didn't see much. But the moon last night, that was good. Right, when you see creation, praise God. Right, it comes from Him. Praise Him, depend on Him, be thankful. Right, what a privilege, what an honor it is for us to know God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I hope you sense how good it is. Alright? And we look forward to the new heaven and earth. There's more to come. Like what we have here, this is good, but there will be a new heaven and earth. We look forward to the kingdom, the new heaven and earth to come. Well, Adam asked us before, what is it that you want us to get out of this series? What is the purpose? May we see afresh the greatness of our God, of who it is that we believe in. And that excites you, that you see how good it is to know Him, to belong to Him and His people, and that renews your faith. Well, that's the first line, or the first couple of lines of the Apostles' Creed. So next time that we stand and you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, may they not just be words that we say, but may you see that the richness of just what it is that we are saying. Not just what we're saying, but what we have. That we know this God personally. He is our Father. Let's pray. Our Father, our Heavenly Father. What a privilege, what an honor it is to call You Father. You are Almighty. You are Creator God, Creator of heaven and earth. And yet we call You Father. We praise You. Amen.